At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, what have we here?
Welcome, everybody, to the Eat Sleep Elite AEW Revolution pre-show, prediction show, whatever you want to call it. As always, I'm Charlie, and I am joined by the Duke of Derps, the Digital Phantom, La Derpy La Duke,
the GOAT. How's it hanging there, buddy?
So, yeah, guys, pretty much on today's agenda, we're just going to be previewing Revolution. We got a Tony Khan media call, we got Darby Allin's Players Tribune, and I mean, we're just going to get our overall vibes for the show. And if you guys...
All right, early prediction, Wardlow's losing the 8-man scramble, but then he's winning the next week.
No.
Next night, he's winning the Face of the Revolution match next night.
Not Wardlow! Fuck! It didn't play. That's okay.
It's shocked.
You got a half a second of it. But... Yeah, if this is your first time checking us out, guys, whatever platform you are on, hit like, subscribe, we appreciate it, and come back for Revolution, because our pay-per-view post-show's gotta be the fucking, it's the most fun thing we do, because the vibes are incredibly high, or they're incredibly low, who are we kidding, they're always high. And
it's definitely a dick riding fest when we talk about the pay-per-views, because we're just getting done watching them, so we're like still all up in the moment, and it's great because you get our raw thoughts.
AEW, it's a good suck fest for us. So
hey, buddy.
That being said, Duke, how are you feeling? And let's start off with this. How are your overall vibes going into the show?
Vibes are high. I think this is going to be a fun pay-per-view. I think Revolution the last 2 years has kicked ass, and I think this is going to be no exception to that. I think this is going to be even bigger, and somehow they're going to top last year's with MJF fucking and Bryan Danielson having match of the year, you know, pay-per-view one. Like, I mean, I don't know which one of those matches will be. It could be Takeshita versus Will Ospreay, to be honest with you. That could be the match of the year that we get for AEW off rip, you know what I mean? Don't get it twisted though. Joe, and Swerve and Hangman are going to have a banger as well. Vibes are high. I'm really excited to see what you think about some of these matches. Cause you know, this is something we tend not to talk about that much. I mean, we'll throw out ideas about where we think stories are going, but we don't really predict the matches in advance on the podcast. Cause we save it for these shows. So they feel a little special, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, I'm with you. I'm pretty excited.
I'm ready for this pay-per-view wait cycle to be over from the end of last year, which was shorter than we thought it was going to be, but it's still too long.
Yeah, I mean, no pay-per-views in January, none in February, and now it's the first weekend of March, and we get one. So, yeah, I think now this is the only time this year it's going to happen, right? Because let's piggyback off that right now, and let's jump into Tony Khan's media call. So, more or less here, Tony Khan addressed it. He announced his 4-man creative team, which is something that's been speculated about. We've seen new additions lately, and we've been wondering who's on his creative team. So it's Jennifer Pepperman, who just joined, and as we've noted before, she's really close with Mercedes. So I mean, she's showing up March 13th. Next week's our last Dynamite before Mercedes. That is fucking insane.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about this a few weeks ago when I was thinking about the dates, because I looked at the calendar because I was looking at it for other reasons. But I was looking at that date and I was like, so she's going to be coming in. They gave her a buffer week so that it's not like still in the fallout of Revolution that you have her showing up, right? Where she can get buried by some story you probably are going to have coming out of that. So it gives her the opportunity for it to be this big thing, and you have the opportunity in that week to add other stuff to big business, like maybe a Will Ospreay match, maybe a Bryan Danielson match, something. You know what I mean? Like, you could do all kinds of things with that opportunity, which I think, I mean, AEW's shown in the past when they get opportunities like this to go from straight from a big pay-per-view that feels important into another big moment like this, that it can feel very big and very massive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think back to the first dance.
And we got a little more on that that March 6th show, too, from Tony Khan in this interview, or his open call, I guess it would be. The other members are Mike Mansoury, who he's been in AEW for a while. We covered when he joined. And Brian Danielson and Will Washington. Again, I think this team makes sense. If you've been following the AEW news, you know that, you know, Washington, Danielson, and Mansoury have kind of been his main three. And now we're adding Peppermint, and now it's just official because Tony has named it. So, 5-person creative team, including Tony. I think that's a good sign. I mean, look, he's got so many hours.
Think Brian's getting extra money for that? I hope so.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure Danielson's contract's pretty fucking lucrative. I'm guessing it's the biggest contract in the company. I don't know that for sure, but
Wills has to clear his.
Remember that thing he told his father is if I die, give Danielson the keys. Essentially, is what he said.
Oh, I know. So I'm saying he probably made him a very wealthy man. I'm sure because he knows how good Brian Danielson is, but. I'm sure Brian Danielson, the reason why he's going to retire has more to do with the fact that he doesn't need to work ever again.
And
I mean, he probably doesn't want to wrestle forever anymore.
I'm guessing his retirement is also going to still include
I still think he's going to make the journey out to book AEW. I think the reason why he's getting him in this role now is so that when he does retire, that he still has Brian around. Because I think Brian will like this side of things. And maybe he won't. Maybe he'll do it for however long he does it, you know, and do it well. But he won't want to do it when he's done. But because maybe that'll make him want to wrestle again. I mean, if we could get a Minoru Suzuki, now maybe not wrestling the schedule Minoru Suzuki has been in the last couple of years because of how obviously close to retirement he is. You know what I mean, right? But maybe like how many matches a year we get in AEW from Suzuki, like 2 or 3. Maybe we could do that with Danielson, like once he's like done. Like if he's still going to be involved, maybe that's why it won't happen. But I don't know. I'm really excited to actually name this team.
Danielson show up on big AEW shows and big New Japan shows. I hope so.
I really do because we didn't really get the opportunity to see what he could do.
We're going to see him disappear off the face of the earth for 6 years.
Every time he says, "Ah, I'm about to retire," he has like 5 insane matches in a row, and it's like, "Well, should I?" You know, it's like maybe not. You know, like
so they. One of the things in the media.
How about Will though, going from being like brought in for help with what Ring of Honor and some other stuff as well, but like mostly like or was it
he went
brought
from, in? Yeah, he went from keeping stories in line. That was kind of his main.
So now he's a main creative person at the company. That's incredible leap in like a short amount of time for a guy. Good on him. And we knew he probably would do that because how good he is.
Yeah, having his brain and he's literally a wrestling encyclopedia. So. It does never hurt to have.
I know. It's like you have the first volume of the encyclopedia that's Tony Khan and the second volume that's Will Washington. Like, and Brian Danielson's probably like also the third volume now that I think about it. Like,
oh, yeah. So,
like, how much more wrestling knowledge could you ever possibly have in a creative room? Like,
so one of the big takeaways from the call is they're talking about pay-per-view events. And Tony Khan said, I can see this year being 9 to 10 pay-per-view events. I think 9 is probably the sweet spot. He said he's also noting that 3 ROH pay-per-views annually as well, which that's made sense. The April, August, and December essentially has kind of been, you know, give or take the Ring of Honor, and that's worked well. Every Ring of Honor pay-per-view matters, and I think that's a good sign that they're sticking with that. So in 2022, they added the 5th pay-per-view, which was Forbidden Door. Last year, they brought it up to 8 with the additions of WrestleDream, All In, and World's End. Now, earlier this week, which I believe we covered on our show, on our Eat, Sleep, Elite from this week, the trademark AEW Dynasty has been filed as a possible pay-per-view name. We've since learned from Fightful, and it feels like everyone's also confirmed this, it sounds like AEW Dynasty will be the pay-per-view in April. So, that would conclude our 9 pay-per-view events. And, yeah, he also went on to talk about huge increases for the media rights deals in 2025. 2025, they will have gone from startup company to established challenger, which was always his 5-year plan. And again, bringing in talents like Mercedes, Okada, and Ospreay in your fifth year is fucking insane.
No, I would say the fact that you're pulling the top free agents away from WWE, you've made your mark. AEW is the number two company. It's not even a question. Nobody's
and these,
even
these
close.
Are not like grizzled veterans either. These are
this is Okada in his prime.
Yeah.
Prime Okada, prime Mercedes. I mean, prime Mercedes with a chip on her shoulder, even. You know what I mean? Okada with a chip on his shoulder because New Japan lost faith in him. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Will Ospreay, the greatest professional wrestler probably ever to wrestle, let's be honest. But, like, we'll save that until Brian Danielson's
He's on
dead.
A level right now that it's never been done in history, to say the least.
Yeah, like Brian Danielson, greatest technical wrestler. Like, it's going to be them 1A, 1B one day. And Kenny Omega in a distant third. And I love Kenny, but it's just the way that it is. I'm sorry, kid, you know? But, like, it's like...
Yeah,
And then everybody else in like a even further distant from Kenny fourth. You know what I mean? Like,
So Meat Madness was due to some speculation as we've also wondered ourselves. It was put on ice, and everyone's like, "Wait, the three Meat Madness guys are announced for the All Star." Miro and Keith Lee are both sidelined. He said they will
so
do
they
the
were
match
get announced
in the future.
This week. Oh, that's lame. Yeah. That would have been a crazy match if they could have got all five of those guys together. You know what I mean?
He said they'll do the match in the future again. You never know with Miro.
Miro's still in the company, but yeah.
I don't know how long Miro's in this company.
You know what? If Miro's not in the company, Lance Archer. There you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Khan referred to former NWA Women's Champion Camille as a, quote, great free agent. People are waiting to see where she ends up, whether it's AEW, TNA, or WWE. It was locked for WWE for a while, but that door changed about a few weeks ago. He praised Daniel Garcia.
How is WWE fumbling these negotiations so bad, dude? I don't understand.
Hey, they got... Look. Hey, they got Shawn Spears and Tama Tonga. Let them cook, man.
I mean, allegedly they got Julia as well, so, you know, I mean.
If she even goes now she's going to the new company.
Yeah,
which that is confirmed. How long is she going to be there?
Oh, well, then maybe they're effed. Maybe they fucked everything up.
No, but, you know, hey.
Maybe the feds fumbled the bag.
For WWE, they love their bloodline, and we're hearing multiple every day. Even Dwayne The Rock Johnson considers Tama Tonga his family. So, you know, they've just added
so
a whole other piece
so wait,
to that
so
puzzle.
Cody, so they're going to run that match before the Cody match. Okay.
Yeah, I have, yeah. And Shawn Spears just returned to NXT where, look, I think that's best of both worlds. Look, Shawn, he just wasn't really used in his last year, and he kind of ran everything up in AEW. Like, that, to me, was a mutual departure.
He did. He had a great match every time they put him in, too. And yeah. It's just, they could not break through. There was just too much talent. He got talent dipped, bro. It happened.
And I'm sure for him, he probably would prefer wrestling in NXT over Ring of Honor. Like maybe
he gets to work with Shawn Michaels as the guy named Shawn. Come on now. Wait, did he show up as Shawn Spears or was he Ty Dillinger again?
He's the character Shawn Spears, which, again, is another note of AEW characters showing up in WWE. They are their characters. This is a few times now. Cody Rhodes, Jade Cargill, Shawn Spears, they've all shown up as their AEW.
All of them
characters.
Are way more undeniable than they ever were. It makes too little sense to go back to the gimmick that didn't get them over in the first place with the back, you know what I mean? And try and build up. It would still transfer over, but there would be some people that would be like, oh, but I like Shawn Spears, you know what I mean? I thought he had the chair, so they must be doing the chairman thing.
Yep.
But so man, I would imagine if they do a feud with Cody, that could be incredible. Because they never did that in AEW, did they? Or did they?
He was always kind of his buddy.
Yeah, I mean, so
His first feud was Cody. He came
you
in
know
and
what? You're right.
The chair. That's what it
you're
was.
You're right, yep. you're right. But obviously that didn't go the way they planned.
So, March 6th in Atlanta, this week, I believe yesterday actually, so after we recorded our show, it is now confirmed. Everyone's confirmed Okada is going to AEW. They've been working the plans for a while. And I believe yesterday they confirmed the contract has been signed. It sounds like Okada might be showing up March 6th in Atlanta.
That would be incredible.
If we're going back-to-back weeks of debuting these people... Now, again, I've said this before on the show, if this is your first time watching. I think Okada's kind of a booking nightmare. Like, how do you book the guy who's untouchable? Look, that's something they're going to have to figure out. And I don't think we can just throw Okada into certain storylines that we're doing with other people. It's just not going to work with him. Like, I don't think a Cope open works with Okada. It works with Adam Copeland because of who he is. I, you know, I don't know what we do.
I think there's only one thing that you do, Charlie.
You have him go for the world title.
No, it's not that. It's you give people the match that they've been wanting. You give us Okada versus Takeshita.
I think that, yes, that is a very, very big match. Takeshita can lose that
100%, yep. And no one's going to bat an eye, especially if he beats, I don't think he's going to beat Will Ospreay, but if you had him beat Will Ospreay and then lose to Okada, that'd be pretty good, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Which I don't think will happen. I think he's losing to both, but if he faces both of them, but I think either that or, yeah, I mean, you put him in the world title scene, but I mean
yeah, because how do you debut Okada and not have him go for the world title, right? That's really hard to do. Because again, this is, in terms of, because all wrestling lore is lore in AEW, right? This guy?
This is like the GOAT of Japan. Like, he's like the GOAT of recent Japan. Like,
the only time he was never not a world champion was recently when he held the Trios title. Other than that, the only title he's held is the world championship title. Like, that's who this guy is. This is the guy. This is the ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Some say he's already on the Mount Rushmore of that company.
That's probably debatable. I'd have to look at like who they consider to be their greats.
I'm not certain on my New Japan lore beyond like.
I'm sure Inoki would be on it. I'm sure maybe some of the Americans that came over there and wrestled some insane matches maybe, but I don't know.
That is going to be something I'm very interesting to follow.
Will Ospreay's on that Mount Rushmore. Fuck what the haters say.
And last little thing here before we jump into the Revolution predictions. Darby Allin did a Players Tribune for Sting. As we've said before, I really want to highlight when wrestlers do these Players Tribune. He pretty much, some of the main, I would highly recommend reading this. It's not just a Sting suck-off, a glaze contest, if you will. But no, he goes on to say how much Sting changed his life. Darby Allin has said now multiple times, the things we see on Sunday have never been done before. From him, I don't know if that entitles all of wrestling. Essentially, these guys want to have the greatest tag match of all time, and that's not going to be easy. They're going to have to work a lot, and you know what? They're doing it with the Young Bucks. As you guys know, Young Bucks are so good at making everyone else look great. It's what made them so special in Japan and on the independents is you can always tune into them and really enjoy what you're going to see. And Sting and Darby Allin, I'm very excited for this match. It's going to be emotional, I think.
It's going to be difficult to watch at points, too, knowing that it's the last time we're going to see Sting and he's going to be at his best. You know what I mean? Like,
because I can tell you this. I mean, I wasn't watching WCW back in the day. To me, Sting has been the guy we've seen in AEW and what I've learned since of going through history and how much he's meant. I mean, just this week with the Raptors thing, I mean, we saw people.
Oh, that was incredible. There was people flashed getting me emotional. Back to like 2009 TNA. Maybe not even 2009, probably earlier than that. Like whenever Sting was there in TNA, bro, and he'd just be chilling up in the rafters and you just see them cut to a random part of the building and you'd see Sting up there. It's like, bro, this guy's so cool. Like, it's crazy to me that one, that he got to go on the journey in AEW that he did after the way things ended in WWE, and that he was able to sort of redeem the end of his career more so than you could have ever possibly imagined. And now he gets to go out in the biggest bang possible against the greatest tag team probably to ever do it in indie wrestling, certainly, and Japanese wrestling, maybe, and definitely possibly all time, you know, like, so.
I mean, they changed the business forever, so.
They did, and that's something you have to consider, but FTR better.
And I want to read this one little quote here from this, because this is something that you and I talk about all the time, and it's something we care about with these legends that they bring into AEW. He said, "I'm so glad Tony Khan paired us together, and that he's giving Sting this incredible send-off. So many guys end their careers on the worst possible note. Either the business embarrasses them, or they embarrass it, or both. It's depressing. Like I said, wrestling can be a shitty cycle, and if there's one last chapter of Sting's legacy that gets written, I hope it's this. Cycles can be broken. The wrestling business, it actually can treat older wrestlers with respect and not spit on them on their way out. And older wrestlers, they actually can give instead of take. They can go out with grace and not like a bitch."
What a fucking legend, man.
I mean, dude, that says it all. Like, Darby knows, Sting knows, everyone. There's a reason these legends come in AEW, and it's so different from what I used to watch. That it blows my mind sometimes of Like, Sting feels like a legend, and we're excited for this match, and the guy's in his fucking 60s!
Speaking of that same era of TNA that I just mentioned, do you know who was a big part of that? Old-ass, still-wrestling Ric Flair. And do you know how much I hated watching Ric Flair after watching that retirement match at WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels? Bro, didn't have anymore.
Oh my god.
Do you remember the Ric Flair's last match, how bad that was? Like,
yeah, the one with Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett.
Now, that's a lot of years removed from that, but it was still, I mean, it was bad then, you know what I mean? So, like, it was, it sucked. The Jay Lethal match, I'll give, because the Jay Lethal match was fine, and it helped to get Jay Lethal over, I think. But I don't want it to be like that, and it hasn't been so far. So my only hope for this is that they manage to pull the fucking smoke and mirrors trick one more time, and we then have something we I don't think really I've ever had before. I can't think of a wrestler that went out like this ever. It's always injury related.
It would have originally been Ric Flair.
Yeah, if Rick had stuck to it.
But he came back. Shawn Michaels came back. Yeah.
Shawn
All
Michaels
these guys came back.
Shawn Michaels did do it for a lot of years. We got to give him credit there. Stone Cold did it.
He did.
Stone Cold did it, and then Stone Cold came back, and it still worked out for Stone Cold. You know what I mean? Like,
the Kevin Owens thing was awesome. Yeah, agreed.
Stone Cold's the only one that can pull it off, apparently. But, you know, like, and Sting now, too. Yeah, give me those guys on a random indie show. Book it, cowards. No, they Book can't it. Afford it. But they definitely can't afford that. Especially retired Sting. Sting, unretire for me after you retired from AEW. Thanks.
But let's jump into Revolution now. And Revolution last year, it was praised by a lot of people as the best pay-per-view of the year. And it was the first pay-per-view of the year for AEW. I believe it even won the Wrestling Observer pay-per-view of the year. And a question to you I want to pose. Is that because they have all this time to build for it? So, do you think that is a factor? Like,
I think the volume
of
good
matches.
Or was it just
the card itself?
I think it can be a factor, and I think it also factors into the fact that there's just a ton of matches on Revolution every year. So it's usually one of the bigger shows because of the amount of build we have. So, you know, because you got weeks and weeks of television to fill, and you only got so many stories, and you don't want to run them into the ground. Tony Khan's gotten really good at knowing how to not do that at this point. He gives you the story of the amount that you should get it, then he'll give it a week off and you won't even realize it because he fills it in with something else that you don't know that you want, but you eventually you need, you know, like.
You need it, boy.
Yeah. So, yeah, it can be a factor, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, we always go odds to evens here, and the first match Duke's going to take the lead on here. So the opening contest, I'm just going to guess what's the opening match, right?
Yeah,
we're gonna go FTR versus the Blackpool Combat Club, John Moxley and Claudio. A, how do you feel about the build? And B, who do you got winning?
I mean, the build was kind of short overall compared to some of the other matches on this show, but you know, it's like Revolution; they do that every year, and a couple of the other shows they'll just add on a few at the end just because they want to fill out the card or whatever, or they want to get certain people certain matches. And this is just going to be a great match on paper. So I don't think this needed to have like a super great build. I do wish we hadn't had to like can the CMLL stuff. Cause I would imagine that's what this match would be and not FDR. But maybe it would be still, but there would have been a different reasoning. I don't know, but either way, I guess I'm feeling okay going into it. I got FTR winning here.
Okay.
Cause I don't think the Blackpool Combat Club lose that often and they could probably afford it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got FTR winning. This is a classic AEW build of they built it within the matches that they've had previously.
And, you know, gets us closer to FTR versus Bucks 3 or 4 or whatever it would be.
Yes. I'm with you. FTR 100%. Yeah. Up next, let's jump into the All-Star Scramble match. The winner will receive a future AEW World Championship match. Oh, we are going to spoil a result from Collision. I'll just leave it open. If you don't know what the match is, this won't impact you at all. So, this All-Star Scramble match, the winner will receive an AEW World Championship match. To me, that 100% impacts who's winning. We have Chris Jericho, Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and Dante Martin. I have Wardlow winning. This fast tracks Wardlow to the World Championship match against whoever it is next week.
Yep.
I think literally big business. I think this goes on at big business. This is our AEW World Championship match at big business.
I hope so. I have Wardlow as well, because I honestly can't even remember half the people who are in the match. I don't think the rest of them are winning, so, like...
No, and Wardlow deserves to win this.
Wardlow... You just listed all of them off, and the only one I remember is Magnus, because I've never heard of them before. Like, Jericho is in there as well. How the hell did Jericho end up in there? The hell?
Yeah. Beating Junior there, probably. I don't know.
I guess.
He'll always get in, because he's got Atlantis. Former world champ, right? If it's not Wardlow, holy shit, give me Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Hey, I'm down.
Because, dude, I would love to see him get a legit chance at the World Championship. Whether it's Samoa Joe, Hangman, or Swerve. I think all of those are
Dude, the
match.
Swerve match? There could be something there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Again, when it comes to build for this match, there really isn't one. I mean, yeah, that's just...
Yeah, there's not much to say other than they threw this together because Meat Madness fell apart, so...
Yeah. Singles match for the AEW TNT Championship match. Christian Cage, Daniel Garcia. What do you got?
Put it on Danny. Do it, cowards.
Yeah? I'm with you. I'm with you. Put it on Danny. We thought this was going to be Cage versus Copeland.
You can't really talk about the build because the build was for Copeland, and then it switched to Daniel Garcia when they weren't. You know what my theory is now is that they booked the match between them two when they weren't sure whether he was going to be able to make it to the show, and he was still wrestling. You know what I mean? And then they told him, "Okay, you got to stop because you're hurt." You know what I mean? Like, But that could be just assuming that they might have just wanted to. Maybe it was meant to be a triple threat originally. You know what I mean? And that's how Danny would win it because the two of them were going to be too caught up with each other, right?
Yeah.
Weird to throw that in the same show that you have a triple threat on also as well. But I could see that being the case. You know what I mean? AEW has done weirder stuff in the past. So, but even if that wasn't the case, even if it was just supposed to be a straight up match with Copeland, that's what the build was for. So if it was for that match, I would say it was a good build. But since we didn't really get to build this match, it's like kind of a wash, you know, like.
And Christian Cage, you know, Killswitch, they've had this title since fucking June, man. I think it's time to, for it to go on some new hands. And I can't think of a better one than Daniel Garcia. Let's start his 2024 off with some gold. I didn't expect him to win gold this early, but I'm with you. I'm in. It makes sense.
I think this
is
exactly why he was given that last win in the Continental Classic. That might not even have been planned from the beginning because it's one of those things that you could edit last second because it doesn't matter at that point, you know? Like for the actual tournament standings, really overall, unless you're planning something specific, you know? Which they were, but it didn't. I don't think it impacted that. Even if it did, it doesn't really matter.
That being said, I'm not mad if Christian wins. Incredible.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like this is the kind of moment where Adam Copeland got hurt, was probably going to win this title here. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they were going to keep it on Christian another month, like another cycle of this feud longer. I think this would have been it. You know what I mean? For those two, and he would have won the title. So if it's Daniel Garcia stepping up because he had that great showing in the tournament, I'm 100% with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Will Ospreay, Konosuke Takeshita. You know, the build's kind of been Don Callis' family doesn't think there's anyone outside of them that is worthy. You know, family fights family.
Hasn't been a build because Will just showed up this week. Like,
And Don said this week the winner doesn't really matter. There's going to be people that they don't like that.
No, that's not how that works. No, it definitely matters.
There's going to be people that do not like that. And, I think Don just, I understand
I love Konosuke, but Will's not losing his first pay-per-view match, really, in AEW. Yes, he's had the other matches on other shows, but this is his this is basically his AEW debut, you know what I mean, as a wrestler.
Yeah, like, and trying to say that the Alpha versus Will Ospreay, that's Don trying to cover his own ass. We know the result matters. Hopefully, this spells, you know, the Will getting away from Don Callis' family. I think that was fine when he wasn't in AEW. Now that he is here, I do not want him in the Don Callis family. Everyone's losing heat in that family right now. It's not good.
That group is dying so fast. That's why they ejector seated Sammy Guevara out of it because they know he's a star and they didn't want him to get like put down back to where he was. Do you remember when Sammy Guevara had just come out of the TNT title scene and they really didn't know what to do with him and he kind of went into the dumps for a little while? And it wasn't really until the MJF Four Pillars feud that he felt like he was a legit star again. Like,
Like, don't get me wrong. Powerhouse Hobbs and Takeshita, we had their tag match against Sting and Darby Allin. They're a fun tag team, but I think those are both, like, really incredible wrestlers. So they kind of just made up for it. But they just don't feel like a team yet. Yeah, I got Will Ospreay winning. And let's hope something cool breaks off from this.
That would be pretty sick.
And again, it losing to Will Ospreay is not going to hurt you. It never will hurt you.
It's like losing
you.
To Okada. It's like, you know, like, what does it matter?
It doesn't hurt. Now, here we go. You knew I was dishing this one to you. Singles match for the Continental Crown Championship. AEW Continental Championship, the ROH World Championship, and the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship. If Danielson loses, he has to shake Kingston's hand. We have champion.
You know, win or lose, it's not even a stipulation. Is that what it says?
That's what it says.
Really? That's weird, because the way they've been booking it, like the way the commentary has been talking about it, it's like win or lose, he wants to shake his hand. So maybe the idea is Danielson won't unless he loses.
Yeah. So
he probably still won't anyway, let's be honest.
What have you thought about this build and who do you
got? Incredible build. Best feud you could have had Eddie coming out of this. And especially if Brian goes on to win this, bro, it's going to be one of the greatest crowning moments in AEW history. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Eddie's actually going to win here. I think Eddie's strong championship reign as Ring of Honor champion before he became the Continental Crown champion tells me that he is not going to be dropping this like just instantly. I don't think Eddie Kingston needs a title. But the kind of people that you could have him face, because he's on that level, that people that are going to want to face him are going to be top-level talents. I don't know. I definitely think that there's some opportunity there. There's some matches I'd still like to see Eddie have for this championship. I'd like to see Claudio get a shot at this eventually, especially after Brian loses. Hell, have him run through the whole Blackpool Combat Club if they're not going to be busy, you know?
He had blood feuds with all of them except for Will, Wheeler Yuta.
You just said, you almost said Will Ospreay, and you know what? I would give me him versus Will Ospreay for that title, bro. Will can lose that match, or he can win that match. I don't care. Will become Continental Champion and then combine it with the AEW Championship and then just delete three championships at once.
I'm
no
so
Ring of Honor Champion. Not allowed. Ring of Honor Champion is Athena. Get over it.
Get it through your head. I'm so with you. The build has been incredible. It's Danielson taking down Eddie's icons, his legends. The story that they've told for months now. Months! This has been a long...
Oh, yeah, because this goes back to before the Classic. Because Eddie was getting called a bum by Danielson back when he was feuding with Claudio. You know, like... So...
Eddie's been strong champion for well over 200 days. He's been ROH World Champion for 156. He's the first ever AEW Continental Crown... AEW Continental Champion. I'm actually going a different pick than you. I got Danielson winning this. I think inevitably. No, look, there's many people I want to see the ROH World Champion on the show. I want to see, you know, I think these titles do matter. And I got to tell you, I really think Bryan Danielson getting some gold on his last run. I think this is the way you do it. Because Bryan Danielson showing up on Ring of Honor. That would be awesome. This also would get Danielson booked on Supercard of Honor. I think that has to play part. Supercard of Honor is going to sell
isn't
so
that
much
something
more.
That they have said they wanted to book him on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view since they've had him there, but it just hasn't worked out. Isn't that something they've talked about?
When Tony Khan announced he bought Ring of Honor, it was Danielson versus Christopher Daniels. That was the match. This gets him on the show. You can continue this program. I don't think either of us are debating that. You could easily continue that.
Eddie losing this would absolutely would not negate the feud. This wouldn't be like, Eddie lost it. Now Eddie goes to the back. No, we don't do that anymore. People can continuously, especially if it's not even an AEW. Yes, the Continental Crown is technically an AEW title, but it's the Ring of Honor title as well. And New Japan also has different rules. So, you know, like you could genuinely, and this is something they probably will do at some point, I'm sure, Charlie, especially now that I've mentioned it, they could contest every one of these matches under a different company's rules, and it would make complete sense given the nature of what we've understood about this championship, you know what I mean, how it works. So, like,
and I know I've said I want the next champion to be in New Japan, and this totally contradicts it, but I think Bryan Danielson is an exception.
Hey, the next champion could be in New Japan, Charlie.
I
can
really
tell
want
you,
someone
can tell
in New
you
Japan
who his name
to
is.
Title.
It's not Nick Nemeth. It's fucking Jack Perry.
Whoa. Whoa. Yeah, I'm in.
Because I could see him. You have to do some stuff to get there. Obviously, I don't think he's taking that off Danielson, though that would be a huge moment for his career if he did. You know what I mean? And a post Japan Jack Perry might be the kind of Jack Perry you need to wrestle Bryan Danielson, you know, like, but.
Ooh, count me in.
You know, hey, we'll see what he does first. We'll see what he does. You know what I mean?
Singles match for the AEW International Championship, Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong. I got Roderick Strong in this by a pretty heavy margin. I'd actually be shocked if Orange Cassidy
won. What are the odds? Look up the odds.
They're probably pretty brutal, but if the build's been fine, Orange has really picked it up in the past couple weeks, but I saw someone kind of talking about maybe why people aren't connecting with Orange right now as much as they were. And one of the common things one of the underlying themes I was seeing was people are thinking he's a little overexposed right now. And
oh, he hasn't been off TV for more than a little bit. And he probably needs some time off. And even if he doesn't want to be off, like, he maybe, I don't know what you do in the short term to, like, not have his stock just go down from that, though. That's the kind of the problem that I see with that, you know, like, because people, I mean, as memorable as Orange Cassidy is, people will remember him when he comes back, but it's like, they just won't be thinking about him for a while, you know? And so he'll be coming back in, not cold, but kind of cold, you know, like cold in the way that, like, when Seth Rollins came back from injuries, how he always had to kind of build himself back up, you know, even though he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Like,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's Roddy all day. Are you?
Yeah, I agree. I think Roddy's winning this championship. I think Roddy's been on a collision course with this championship since he got here, honestly.
Let's be honest, the Undisputed Kingdom, they already feel forgotten about. And I don't know.
It's because Adam Cole's injury being timed as horribly as it is. And again, that's not in his control. But them deciding to, like, bro, they could have just had, I know this would be lame as hell if they did this, but they could have just had Roddy come out and say he was the leader for a little bit and then reveal Adam Cole when he's ready. Like, I don't know why that would have, the group would feel so much more important right now, I feel like. Would it feel less legit because it doesn't have Adam Cole in it? Probably. But, like, yeah. I don't know. MJF was going to be off. You know, the problem is MJF couldn't feud with these guys because he needed to. He needed to just straight up have a feud with them. I know he technically had been feuding with them for a while, but he needed to be able to, somebody needed to be able to work these guys that had all that stuff that they put into it, including all the stock you built up for Jay White over the course of the time on Collision. And it feels like for, I think probably for a lot of people, that you put all that stock, including Jay White, into that, right? And it didn't really go anywhere ultimately, because yes, we have tag champions right now and we're probably about to have an international champion, but Adam Cole and Wardlow, I don't think are winning the world title anytime soon. Adam Cole because of injury, Wardlow because I still don't think they think he's ready, you know, like, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Timeless Toni Storm, Deonna Purrazzo. This has been built up for a while, so.
This is probably the best build on the pay-per-view, and, I would say.
Are we getting a new women's champ?
I'll get to that in a second. This has been the best build on the entire pay-per-view. I don't care what anybody tries to tell me.
Week in and week out, it's succeeded the most.
I'm more excited to see potentially see Swerve or Hangman beat Joe, or even Joe retain against either of those guys. I'm more excited to see the result of that, probably individually. But this is like, the video package for this one's going to be insane. This is going to go down probably as one of the most underrated women's feuds of all time, just because there's so much going on in AEW right now, and Mercedes is about to come in, and Okada is probably about to come in. So you have a lot of moving parts that are going to kind of like bury this a little bit, but this at the beginning of this year has been the best viewed on AEW television. I don't know what else you could say has been better. Like, what's actually been better that's been an actual storyline that has as much depth and as much, like,
and that's, it's been like, too, so much depth.
And they didn't just do, oh, my friend is acting weird, I'm going to try and knock some sense into her. This Deonna Purrazzo took this as like a personal attack on their friendship, especially when she did the shit to the tattoo. So it's like, you know, like, I think this is going to be personal. I think it's going to be mean. I think they may do some talking to each other during the match. I think this is going to be a really good match. And I do actually think Deonna Purrazzo will win the championship here, because
I'm into that.
I think Toni Storm doesn't need the championship. I say this a lot for a lot of people, but like, I think that character doesn't need the championship to still work. And maybe that's the thing that snaps her back into being Toni Storm again. I don't know. I don't think it'll be that simple, though. But I'd be really interested to see who she would feud with.
I don't think she snaps back in for a long time. I think we see this character.
That's that would be really cool. What I think would, I would be interested in is who do you put her against next? And so that's something that they had to think about. But outside of that, I mean, maybe that's how you bring Britt Baker back if she's able to come back. Like, I don't know, but like,
yeah,
I don't know. Bring somebody in. Thunder Rosa's available, right? How she's not on this pay per view fucking baffles me. You know what I mean? Like,
Thunder Rosa
came back from like multiple. Well, I guess the timing was probably just not ideal for putting her into storylines that were already in motion. But like, shit, you know, like. Either way, but I do think I could see Tony retaining as well, but I do think I think it's time. I think it just feels right. Deonna Purrazzo has all the hype in the world around her. Like, women, the last chick in the AEW women's division that had this much hype around her was Jamie Hayter, and they put the title on her and it worked out supremely. So
history does tell us that they've done that. Yeah.
So I think sky's the limit, and not sky blue, but
I think, yeah. I would love to see Deonna win. I do think they're going to keep it on Tony, and I agree with the sense of she never needed it, but the fact that they gave her the world title with this character, I think in their eyes, they're just going to keep it there for a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong, her being the best character and then having the championship on someone else, again, that inevitably elevates the division, so maybe they do that. So, but for this title reign, I am going to go with Timeless Tony. All right. So we got our two, you know, we got the world heavyweight or the world championship match, and then the world tag team championship, which we do know now that the tag teams will go on last. So, three-way match for the AEW World Championship: Samoa Joe, Hangman Adam Page, and Swerve Strickland. The feud, it's been booked pretty well. You know, this is ultimately a testimony of where do they see Samoa Joe as the champion, right?
Yeah, has it worked out in their minds with him as champion? Do they have confidence in him holding the company up on his shoulders?
Because if they give it to Swerve, you can't blame him one bit, right?
No. Honestly, if they put it back on Hangman, you couldn't blame him.
No, and if Joe continues to hold this title, holy shit, they really see him high because, dude... Swerve's such a hot
hand. That would show
right
a
now.
Lot because, dangling Swerve in front of the audience right now with how over he is at the moment, it's like, it's a risky move, honestly. Like, it could end up resulting in some boos for whoever wins. So you might have to, like, fully go heel with whoever wins this, you know, which if it's going to be Hangman, they certainly seem to have leaned in that direction. So, but I mean,
yeah.
How do you feel about a heel Hangman going into this match? It's a little surprising, right? Like,
it blows my mind. I did not think Hangman would ever turn heel, and then the way
it
they
just makes too
it,
much sense, though. Yeah, right. Like the way they've executed it,
it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I think Hangman turning heel is the reason Samoa Joe is going to retain. Now,
that makes a lot of sense. He loses control and beats the absolute crap out of Swerve. Swerve's doing his best, and this is how we fully turn Swerve babyface. Like,
as well as, I think there's a chance. Now, if executed poorly, this could be a fucking nightmare. However, I think Hangman's good enough to pull this off. I think there's a chance Samoa Joe pins Hangman. But you get a sense that Hangman let him do it just because
he didn't want Swerve
to be champion. And you see Hangman, like, laughing maniacally and fucking, like we know it just happened. Yes, Samoa Joe beat him. And it was 100% legit. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's got to be seen as they didn't just hand Samoa Joe the win. I think there's a chance you do that, and it's perfect.
Oh, that could be brilliant. Swerve just devastated. Hangman just absolutely losing his shit. Like, oh, that could be a all-time wrestling image right there. You know what I mean? Like,
it could be, if executed right, it could be perfect. So, but yeah, I got Joe retaining, and this is the first time I've changed my tune because I really thought it was going to be Swerve, but I don't know. I just see it happening now. What do you got?
I got a Swerve for you. I got heel Hangman picking up the win.
Okay. you can't go wrong with heel Hangman at the forefront of your company.
I just want to see what he would do with the championship on top as a heel, because there's an argument, though, that you probably shouldn't do that because you just had like 6 months or however long of MJF. Probably like, what was it, like 12 months of MJF? When did he win? And it was All Out, right? Or something like that?
MJF held it for over a year.
Oh, for over a year. You're right. He won it before Revolution. That's right. That's why he was having a match with Danielson, because Danielson was like, I think, his first title defense after Full Gear, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah, I believe he held it from Full Gear to World's End. So it was...
What an absolute legend. But maybe you don't go that way. But I mean, I would love to be able to say Swerve here, but I feel like the same way as you. In the last few weeks, it felt like it shifted away from it being Swerve.
No, it has. It really has.
And that's not anything that Swerve's done. He's been doing everything great. It's just, I think...
I still got Swerve and Ospreay main eventing All In this year. To me, it's still happening.
That would be awesome.
How do we get there? You know, I think we got some time. Look, we're adding AEW Dynasty. Hey,
if one way you could run it back, because we technically got the match, right? So if you wanted to run a fourth, would it be the fourth or the third? Fourth or third Hangman Swerve match for the title, and have Swerve beat him there while he's a heel, and then he goes on to face Will Ospreay. I mean, there's something there, especially if Will Ospreay's still a heel from being in the Don Callis family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of options there. We got options. All right, main event time. Tornado tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. This is the first time the AEW tag team titles have main evented a pay-per-view. Champions Sting and Darby Allin versus the AEW EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the Young Bucks. How do you feel about the build, and who do you got? Are we vacating the titles? That's what it all comes down to.
Incredible build. One of the best, if not the best story. I already said there was already a better story, in my opinion, on AEW television right now, and that's the DiBiase Peraza Tony Storm one. But if we're talking like the best story in the male division, it's this, and it's not even close. And I mean, actually, honestly, the story's going to the pay-per-view, being thrown into the Continental Crown and everything else. They're honestly all really good if you really think about it.
Fantastic. I think having this extra time, that's what I was saying. I think having this extra time has benefited everyone.
I'd still want more pay-per-views more often, though. But I can't have everything I want, I guess, in wrestling. But anyway, yeah, no, I think this is going to be a really, really good match. I think Sting is going to go out with a bang. But I think the Young Bucks are going to walk out with the AEW Tag Team Championships.
I agree. I think the Young Bucks winning the titles here makes a lot of sense. And it's for the best. Could they vacate them and do a tournament? Sure. And yes, the tournament will be awesome. Don't get me wrong. However, I think after the Ricky Starks and Big Bill title reign, that just it didn't hit great, you know, and that was from October to February, you know, it just didn't hit the way we wanted it to. You gave it to Darby Allin and Sting, so they could main event the pay per view with these titles. And look, you're gonna have these heel Young Bucks saying they sent out Sting, and that's gonna be constant heat. It's going to work for them as a heel, and you know, let's get back to these titles being on FTR or the Young Bucks, and we're in a fucking prime position to do it now. I think the build's been awesome. Last night's Dynamite was really enjoyable, or Wednesday night's Dynamite was really enjoyable.
I have a question for you, Charlie. How they continued this. It just felt like for a while the Young Bucks have kind of just been like resented by a lot of the AEW audience that don't really like to have them as their favorites, right? Because of everything that went down with CM Punk and them not really doing a bunch. They're mostly staying backstage for a while now, you know? Mm-hmm. For a long time, it feels like, really. Since they've been back, pretty much, they haven't really done much, even when Kenny was doing stuff, you know what I mean? They were going to have the feud with Jericho and... Jericho and who was it? It was Jericho and somebody weird, right? Like,
it was Jericho and Kenny.
Oh, yeah, Jericho and Kenny, that's right, before Kenny got hurt. So obviously they were going to use them more, but that was the most recent time I can think of them being used, you know what I mean? Probably wasn't, but we need them back in a position on top, like you were saying. We just need them back somewhere where it feels like their importance is used well. Like, you genuinely have the four best tag team wrestlers in the world in this company right now. You know how to use FTR. Use these guys the same way. I don't know why you can't. I don't know why they wouldn't be willing.
No, exactly. And we're going to have fucking brilliant programs with them as champions. And it's time. I'm with you. And you know what? The fuck? I can't believe this is the first time these titles are main eventing a pay-per-view.
In their first title defense, Charlie, Colt Cabana and Brandon Cutler. No, imagine.
Book it. Book it, Tony, you coward.
Imagine.
That'll be it for us, guys. Thank you for checking this out. Hope you enjoyed our predictions, our little pre-show action. And, hey, if you're watching this, you know, and pay-per-view's on in a couple hours, we're all fucking excited. Come back tonight, and we're going to be here for the post-show. So that's going to be a good time. And, yeah, guys, check out the weekly show, Eat Sleep Elite. We just posted a new episode a couple days ago where we dove into some good stuff there. We made our New Japan Cup predictions as well. The vegans are taking over.
I got one more thing for you that just hit me. At Black Pebble Combat Club win. They've been calling themselves the elite of the elite lately, Charlie.
Yeah.
The elite.
Writes itself.
Are the tag team champions. They're not the elite anymore, but you know the EVPs are tag team champions. That might be a storyline you have to run.
It'd be fucking awesome. It'd be awesome. It would be awesome.
God, wish we had Kenny back for that, though, because then we could get them to run back the Bryan match. Oh, anyway.
Good lord, boy!
Book everything, thanks, Tony.
Book it all. Book it
Kenny's
all.
Health. Let him die in the ring now.
No! guys, I think this show's going to kick ass. So thanks again, and thanks for sticking around. We appreciate it. Take care.